Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck and I'm your host for this first hour. I know all eyes on the U.S. as the upcoming election will hopefully be behind us next week. And the volatility in the markets, it really picked up steam again this week. I'm kicking off the show with Trader Vic Sparandio. Now, Trader Vic, you and I are recording this about halfway through the day on Wednesday. And this Wednesday, it's already the start of some sort of a sell-off here. We don't know how it's going to play out for the rest of this week, but investors clearly are getting nervous heading into the weekend and into that U.S. election. Let's start off with the election, though. I don't talk too much politics, and I do want to keep it focused on how the markets will react to whatever comes out of that U.S. election. But give us a little summary on how you see the U.S. election playing out and what you're going to be watching most closely for next week.
Well, as we speak, the Dow's down 800. And this was anticipated, meaning the markets coming into election day should be very cautious and in a decline, because anybody that is got gains should be considering taking those gains, hedging those gains, and nobody's buying now because there's a risk. If the risk is the way the world would see it, is Biden wins and the Democrats take the Senate. And then you'd have really what it amounts to a party now that has turned socialist. They're not the Democrats of the 60s and 70s. And this is a completely dominated party by radicals. So the markets should get killed should that event happen, that Biden and the Senate is taken over by the Democrats. And meanwhile, the House stays Democratic. So here's what is important, and it has to do with how to read the markets. Now, let's put this into context. In Portland and Seattle and Illinois and New York and other places in the country, you see these riots, burning of businesses. It happened in Philadelphia last night. The excuse is an African-American gets killed. It doesn't matter how he gets killed, why he gets killed. Some policeman kills him for even great reasons, but it doesn't matter. So everybody loots. The police stand down. The businesses go up in flames, and there's nothing you can do. Now, couple this, and I'm going to come back for a minute because there's a point to New York where they have these lockdowns and shutdowns. They don't do it for 2 weeks like it was talked about. This is going on months. So businesses are going, just closing, and there's no way they're going to come back in the short run. So when we say all this, what the important reaction is to this election is what's supposed to happen. Now, not what's going to happen, because nobody really knows for sure, although we had this scenario that's been in the press and is fairly well known called the Red Mirage. I'll just outline it. It's basically that on Election Day, Trump is going to win, maybe win very big. And then with these mail-in ballots, which are going to come in after Election Day, after November 3rd, that the Democrats are going to overtake that because most of them are not going to go vote. They're doing this thing by mail. And the question is, are they going to steal this with phony ballots and whatnot? Now, by the way, just for the record, I try to find a country in the world that allows votes to be cast after Election Day. I couldn't find any country in the world. There's roughly 215 oddball countries. There's about 196, members of the UN. The point is, this is unbelievable, and is part of this scenario where I say, what is supposed to happen? And what's supposed to happen when you put all of what's gone on in context with the closing down of businesses, which Trump opined on, but he didn't cause that. That's the governors of New York and California who are still closing down. I mean, New York, the restaurants are still not open. So the key is the economy has gone down the tubes. The GDP comes out tomorrow. It's going to be a big. But that's because of the government spending and the Fed. And it's not, doesn't mean it's going to happen again. It's a one-time deal, just like the down, the decline was a one-time deal. So it's going to be up 30-plus tomorrow, GDP. So that's markets should respond somewhat positively to that, although it's well-known. So today, it's more the COVID count is going up, the threats of shutdown, so the markets are selling off. But it also is in conjunction with coming into this weekend, people, if they're intelligent, you know, they want to be cautious. So there's hedging and selling, big profits in the stock market from the end of March. So most people would want to put that cash, that because if Biden wins, he's going to change the capital gains rate, et cetera, et cetera. Now, so when I say things are supposed to happen, what's supposed to happen is Trump should win by a landslide, legitimately, meaning even after the third. Why? Because the people don't legitimately blame him for a virus that is all over the world to varying degrees, but is affecting the world. I mean, he's not the guy. I mean, they use this in the press to paint him to be a bad guy. But he's no different than any other leader in France or England where these COVID cases are supposedly going up. And so he's the only guy that really cares about the economy. The Democrats don't. They want it bad. So what's supposed to happen is you're supposed to see a landslide victory for him, and you're supposed to see the Senate remain in Republican hands and the House lose. Now, if it doesn't do that, what does it say? It says the people of the United States still don't get it. And really, the economy is in for very rough times coming into the future. So in other words, what you're doing here is using the election of what's supposed to happen to predict the future economy. This is not predicting what's going to happen to any asset class next week. It's predicting if the people don't vote this way, they don't understand. So they'll keep voting in. I mean, if you look at these Democratic states, they're the big losers here. Almost every red state, as they call it, Republican state, is doing very well. I used an example before before with you about South Dakota, who didn't close down, whose unemployment is 3%, their GDP is about the same. They had very few cases, just like if you look at Sweden. Sweden's no different than anywhere else where people close down. So it's a mixed bag how this thing transfers, how contagious it is, and how it works, okay? A lot of the elderly people are the ones at most risk. 41% of the deaths are caused by nursing homes, and the average age of death, the average age is in the high 70s. So it's a very contagious disease, but it's not a deadly disease like Ebola would be the worst disease. So coming back to the markets now, sans this election, which I'm telling you to watch for the future, the way the American public is going to vote. If you see a landslide, if you see these changes, it's very good for the future. It's very good for next year. If it doesn't work out that way, next year is going to be a very poor, in my opinion, year for the economy and probably, therefore, for stocks. Because, again, the Fed is limited now to what it can do. It's at zero. It's done QE, continue to do QE, but it's really only helping a certain asset classes. Not even real estate is going to be helped by the Fed doing QE now. So what's the key thing in my mind that one has to watch? The dollar. The dollar affects everything. And the dollar has to be going down. Today it's up big, by the way, it's up a half a cent. But it's got to be going down for the U.S. to pick up and the world to pick up, in my view, because our goods are going to become cheaper. It's the only way for the U.S. to get out of its doldrums. It's got to create some inflation so commodities come back, which is a huge part of the market. The stocks are not going to care because the Fed has said we're going to let inflation run hot. So they've got about a year's grace, no matter what inflation does. But if the dollar rallies, the world goes into deflation, and we are in worse shape than we were in April. So the key, one big key to watch is the dollar. And if I was Trump and I won, the one thing I'd be doing is telling the Treasury, who controls most of what happens to the dollar, to sell the hell out of it. Not a crash, but consistently knock it down from where it is now in 93-ish to 80 by the end of next year. If it did that on a slow, steady basis, the United States economy would do very well. Stocks would do very well. Commodities would roar. Gold would roar. Things would really turn around. But if the dollar stays strong or goes up, we're in very bad shape. So those are the things that I think are important coming into next week.
Okay. Let's talk about the dollar, though, because the dollar has been in a downtrend ever since it spiked on the tail end of all the lockdowns, or actually when the lockdown started. The dollar reached almost 104, now trading right around this 93 region. Do you think that the Treasury Department, even the Fed, actually has the ability? To me, that seems like they'd just be flooding the market with dollars to push it down. But even recently, when we have seen the Fed step up some of their buying or some of their printing of money, it hasn't had a huge effect to the downside. Moving down to 80 is a major move lower.
Yeah. Well, it came, you know, from 70 back in the Great Recession, as they say. But so 80 would be a moderate, would be not a horrible decline, would be a normal decline if you looked at the history of the dollar going back to the 20s and how it moves cyclically. But neither in there, the decline in the dollar has helped the economy rebound that it's going to do this quarter. It's also helped stocks. It has harmed bonds slightly. Bonds are off their peak, but it hasn't, it helped gold, of course, but it has helped the economy net rather than hurt the economy. Now, a 12% decline from the peak, from the very top, that 104 level-ish, is not, I mean, that's not material. Okay, if you got it down to 80, that would be normal. About 25% to 30% is the cyclical movements of the dollar. I have this going all the way back, and I'm going off my memory, but 25% is about what it does when it sells off, and it rallies about 40%, 35 to 40% when it goes up. So it's got to go down much more. And it's up to the Fed, not the Fed, excuse me, it's up to the Treasury to knock it down. That's really the Exchange Stabilization Fund, which had funded with $100 billion back in the 30s. I mean, it's been replenished and whatnot, but it's basically controlled by the Treasury.
Okay, well, fair enough. Let's see exactly how that all plays out. And again, we just need to get this election behind us. Do we need to be concerned, though, about another just washout decline like we saw back in March for the markets broadly?
Well, in my world, if Biden wins and the House and Senate go Democrat, you could bet on it, because there'll be material changes that are going to be negative for investors long term. What the Democrats would say is they're going to spend like $5 trillion, you know, to offset the higher taxes, which is the name of the game for them. But in this case, because debt is so high, higher taxes are going to get you less revenue, and the $5 trillion they're going to spend is going to go directly onto the $27.1 trillion now. And by the way, in the pocket of the Treasury, there's another $1.8 trillion that they have that's been allocated to them, but they haven't spent it yet, so it's not part of the deficit. So the deficit's really $29 trillion. It's just that they can't put it on the books that way until they actually spend the money. But the Treasury is hoarding it, okay? Then, or the Senate, which is not spending that money, so that with the it's still in the Treasury's pocket. But until they spend it, they can't mark it as a debt. You see what I mean? So it's really $2 trillion higher than what's stated, which is 27, almost two in round numbers, 27 trillion 200 billion. But my view is that would cause a crash because of the extreme radical changes that they would put through. If you look at Goldman Sachs, they're going to think things are much better than I would, because they're going to say, okay, they're going to spend all this money. That's good. Yes, that is for the GDP. That is good, but it's not good for the long term of the United States, and it's going to cause tremendous disallocations from investor capital.
Okay, well, I guess we'll see how that all plays out, too, because in all fairness, I think some people have said that investor capital has been misallocated in these markets for a long time, driving these tech stocks higher. Let's talk a little bit about the makeup of this recent market rally. Fine, the market's selling off today, but it was closing in on all-time highs, and it was being led with stronger breadth, the rotation out of some of the high-flying tech stocks into the lagging sectors was happening, and that's what was helping support these markets. What was your view of the makeup of the markets and how they did continue to climb closer to all-time highs heading into a hotly contested election?
All right. Well, the breadth figures, yeah, they made a high about 2 weeks ago, and that was primarily, you also saw the Russell 2000 rally, the small caps, and what people were doing there is selling some of the really big winners in the tech and moving it to the things that are on their bottom and basically buying cheap and selling dear. And so those are strategic movements within the fund world and the pension fund world. So, I mean, that's normal if you think this quarter is going to be big and you think the fourth quarter, which is scheduled to be up 4%. Now, the mix of who's going to be the victor in the election is not in there. These are just tactical trades. If you look at the breadth numbers, they correlate very highly with the Russell 2000. So if the Russell 2000 rally, which it was because it was cheap and people were buying cheap and they were taking their profits on the big stuff, because again, they're overpriced. I mean, the average PE probably on a tech stock is 40 minimum, right? So Google and Apple and things like that are going to have a 40 PE in round numbers. Microsoft, I looked them up once, but I haven't looked them up in a couple of months, so I'm sure they haven't changed much. So you're basically just diversifying and being intelligent. I mean, it's not wrong to switch out of things that have moved up gigantically, 30%, into things that are still were near their low and the down for the year. And I mean, Russell is probably down about 7% for the year without today. So I understand that kind of mentality that, you know, that you want to be intelligent about what you're investing in. These five or six tech stocks, they're not going to last like this forever. People are going to look for value, and they're going to go to the smaller stocks that have been beaten down.
Okay. So then, Trader Vic, sum it up in terms of where you see the best opportunity sector-wise for investors looking to take maybe longer-term positions when all this election turmoil settles.
Well, my favorite, of course, is the precious metals. And although they're in a corrective state, I look for silver to go towards 22. Today it was down $1. It was about 23. I'm not in front of my machine as I speak, but it's in that range. Gold was down $30, but still, you know, in a strong uptrend. The reason they've paused is because the discount of this GDP number that's coming out is well instituted. The key is the Fed, which was supposed to go to $10 trillion from its $7 trillion, it's been flat since June. The Fed has not put any money in, and because there's been no new incentive or stimulus between the Republicans and Democrats, everything is on hold. So if the Republicans win, or even if the Democrats sweep, the problem is going to be if they're 50-50 like they are now in the House and Senate. But if they sweep, you know, you'll see stimulus, and then gold will start to move up, and so will silver. So they're my favorite plays.
Okay. Well, Trader Vic, we're going to wrap it up there. Thanks, as always, for taking time on this weekend show. It's always interesting to hear what you have to say, and I know our audience always enjoys hearing from you. So, Trader Vic, have a great rest of your weekend. Thanks, man.
You too. Thanks.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.